Before the flood, scattering of the people. All right, we'll start over.
It's early for me too.
All right, before the flood, scattering of the people. All right, very good. Keep thinking about those. Keep learning them. If you need a copy of those, we can print another copy so you'll have them. But we gave them out last time. But that's a great outline. It's a good, solid outline for everything, you know, the periods of history through the Bible. And all of our kids back there know it. So, all right. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 7 through 10 this morning. And so as just a little bit of review, the chapters that you see there before you. So start out in Exodus. In Exodus, the Israelites are in bondage. They are made slaves. We see Moses, we introduced to Moses in chapter 2. We see his birth, and he flees to Midian. He starts a family there, gets married, has a son. Chapter 3, then Moses, or God, meets with Moses in the burning bush. And God is telling Moses, this is what I want you to do. This is what's ahead, and this is what I want you to do. And Moses' reaction to that is, what? Who am I to go and do this? You know, Moses did not feel at all qualified to do any of that. How many excuses did he give? Several, yeah, all right, yeah, 4 or 5. So, several times, he says, I'm not the one. They're not going to listen to me. I can't speak. Israel won't listen. Pharaoh won't listen. But God had a plan for him. And he was going to use him, even if Moses didn't think he was up for the task. All right? Then Aaron God tells Moses that Aaron will be there to help him as well. And then in chapter 5, Moses goes to Pharaoh, and he presents, you know, and it says that, God says that he's going to make Moses a god to Pharaoh. Now, that doesn't mean what it just seems like it means, but from Pharaoh's perspective, Moses was going to be a tremendous thorn that Pharaoh's got to deal with through all this thing. And Moses is causing, in a sense, from Pharaoh's perspective, Moses is causing all this to happen. So in a sense, it's Moses is God's tool in this and everything that God wants him to say. So we're going to see Pharaoh's reaction, especially through the rest of these chapters, God dealing with Pharaoh. And, you know, showing Pharaoh and the Egyptians and the Israelites who he is in how God operates here. That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's a good point. It's a good point. Okay. So, as he goes through this in chapter 5, as we're reviewing, Moses tells him what God wants him to do, and Pharaoh refuses. He says, no, I'm not going to let him go. You know, you must have too much time on your hands. Here's more work for you. And so he creates a more difficult situation for them. Well, then in chapter 6, Pharaoh meets God. And it's interesting, even in chapter 6, God says in verse 7, then I will take you for my people, I will be your God, talking about the Israelites, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. So God's going to, the Israelites, do they really know who God is? They don't at this point. God's introducing himself to them as well, in a sense, and proving himself to them. And then in verse 12 of that same chapter, Moses gives another. He's already talked to Pharaoh, right? He's already gone before him and presenting, you know, God's demands to him. But in chapter 12, Moses speaks to the Lord, "Behold, the sons of Israel have not listened to me. How then will Pharaoh listen to me? For I am unskilled in speech." So Pharaoh's still giving excuse. He still does not feel like he's the one to do this job. But let's go on to chapter 7. And this is where Mike covered last week. Before Pharaoh, God had given Moses a sign that he could do. What was that? His staff was going to be special throughout, you know, all this time of Moses. And he one of the signs was he threw the rod down, it became a snake. But what was the deal? Pharaoh's magicians could do the same thing in some form or fashion. They did it. So Pharaoh, you know, that wasn't so special. You know, we can do it on our side too. All right, in verse 13 he says, Pharaoh's heart was hardened and he did not listen to them. All right, so in chapter 7, verse 14, we begin, and God says to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is stubborn. He refuses to let the people go. Now, all this about, you know, Pharaoh and how he was going to react to this, this was not going to be unexpected. Back in chapter 3, verse 19, God tells Moses what's going to happen. Pharaoh is not going to let them go, except under compulsion. So God knows what's about to happen. He sees and he's going to work it. Now, what's the end goal of this? What is God wanting to accomplish? His people becoming his people and them being released and getting out. Now, how many different ways could God do that? Has he ever destroyed everything or who he wanted to destroy and let them go? And before this and after this many times. He could have just said, you know, Egypt, you're done, and Israel, you're free. He could have done that. So why, and this is more just for thought and contemplation, but why did God go through all this? Why did he go through all this time and going to Pharaoh and Pharaoh rejecting him and hardening his heart? And I mean, this goes on. How many times does Pharaoh harden his heart? Or does God harden his heart? I counted about 10-ish times or so. Okay. About 10 times this happens. But, so that's something to think about, why God was going through that, going through this. We'll talk a little bit more about it. Just 1 second. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. Good point. Someone else? Yeah. Yeah. Without a doubt, unequivocally, who was the God? Yeah. That's right. Yes, yes. That's exactly right. Good comments. And we'll talk a little bit more about this as we go through this. All right. So in chapter 7, start with verse 14, he tells Moses, go to Pharaoh in the morning as he's going out to the water and put yourself there on the bank of the Nile. And take your staff with you. And so he goes out there, and God tells him, hold your hand out over the waters, and by this, the Lord says, verse 17, you'll know, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike, verse 17, I will strike the water that is in the Nile, and it will be turned to blood. The fish in it are going to die, everything living in it is going to die. It wasn't just the Nile River, but what else? It was everything. It was the ponds, the rivers, water pots that they had in their houses, you know, water, that they had themselves. Everything was going to turn, to blood. And so all of this happens, and Moses and Aaron did exactly what God commanded, as he'd instructed. But, verse 22, what also happens? Yeah. So, the magicians, Pharaoh's guys, they were able to do something similar, at least, or the same, and whatever they did, I don't know. But, it looked the same, and Pharaoh says, that wasn't so special. And he hardens his heart. You know, it doesn't mean anything. So we're going to see everything progress and get, you know, further toward God showing who he is. Okay? So, but in all of this, through this one, what did the Egyptians have to do? They had to go out and dig for water, right? Because everything that was there was no good. So 7 days passed after this. Then the Lord says to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse, I will smite your whole territory with frogs. And so Pharaoh won't let them go. Moses, God strikes the land with frogs. And the frogs are everywhere. They are, what does it say, in their ovens, you know, their furnaces, in their kneading troughs, in their bed, you know, under the covers with you. That'd be gross. So the frogs are everywhere. What a nuisance. What a pain. Nothing deathly about it. Nothing. But it's just a real mess. And especially after they're dead, you know, just a mess. Or after they're gone. But what happens in verse 7? Magicians did something like this too. So again, Pharaoh, who I'm sure he considers himself the man, nobody's greater than me, kind of a thing. So he says, you know, not so special. You know, my guys here can do that too. So we've had the staff, the serpents, water to blood, frogs here. And he says, so they go through that. And Pharaoh, once the frogs were gone away, then Pharaoh hardened his heart. and did not listen to the Lord. So in verse 16, the Lord says to Moses, "Send Aaron, stretch out your staff, and strike the dust of the earth, so it will become gnats through all the land of Egypt," or lice, you know, your version may say. The idea was, I think it goes back, it was some sort of biting insect. We don't know what it was exactly, but something that was some sort of biting insect is really all we know. So they did. He stretched out his hand with his staff, Aaron did, struck the dust of the earth, and all the dust of the earth, that's a lot of gnats, that's a lot of bugs. That's an exaggeration, but yeah, they were everywhere. I mean, it was all over them. And so with them being everywhere, you know, just riding your bicycle or riding a motorcycle or something like that, what do? Keep your mouth closed, because what'll happen? A bug will fly in. Well, I expect with all these things being everywhere, there was bugs getting in everywhere, right? In all the food and everywhere. Well, what did the magician say, verse 19? Yeah. So we've escalated things quite a bit. This is a pretty big jump. The magician said, "No, this isn't us. This is the finger of God. This is God doing this. This isn't Moses' trickery. This isn't something that we can do. This is God doing this." But verse 19, Pharaoh's heart was hardened again. And so God says to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning, present yourself before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water." This is verse 20. "Say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. If you do not, I will send a swarm of insects. And also the ground on which they, the Egyptians, sorry. For if you do not let them go, I will send swarms of insects on you and all your servants and on your people and in your houses, and the houses of Egyptians will be full of the swarms of insects and also on the ground on which they dwell." So, flies. Whatever kind of flies these were, some sort of insects. So, something else happens differently with this one, all right? Before this, there was no distinction made between the Egyptians and the Israelites. It was happening everywhere. Water to blood, frogs, lice. But here, flies, there's a distinction made in verse 20, and what is that? It happens only to the Egyptians, right? Yeah. So it's taken another leap, another escalation of proving that this is something supernatural, right? Because it's only happening on part of the land. And what about the little area of Goshen where the Israelites were? They weren't being affected. How does that happen? You know, so you got to think Pharaoh should contemplate this a little bit more seriously. It's happening to us, but it's not happening to them. So, all right. So verse 25. It's affecting Pharaoh to some point, anyway. Look at verse 25. What does he do? He says, "Go and sacrifice to your God within the land." This is kind of his first offer in this negotiation. He sees this as a negotiation. So, sacrifice like you're wanting. You can go, but stay here in the land and do that. But Moses replies in verse 26, "It's not right to do this, though, for we will sacrifice to the Lord our God. What is an abomination to the Egyptians? If we sacrifice what is an abomination before their eyes, will they not then stone us? We have to go 3 days' journey in the wilderness, sacrifice to the Lord our God as he commands us." So Moses replies, and Pharaoh says, "I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away and make supplication for me." It seems like Pharaoh knows he's dealing with someone something, someone more powerful than he is. He seems to be realizing that. But yet, he doesn't want to comply completely. So Moses says, I'll go out and make supplication that the swarms of the insects will depart. He goes out and he does that. And the Lord removes the swarms of insects from Pharaoh, his servants, from his people, and they were all completely gone. But after they were gone, everything's okay. Pharaoh hardens his heart this time, and he did not let the people go. Okay? All right. So, all right. So chapter 9, Lord then says to Moses, go to Pharaoh, speak to him. Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. If you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them, the hand of the Lord will come with a severe pestilence on your livestock that are in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, the herds, and on the flocks. So, a pestilence on their livestock. And so the more archaic term, murrain of cattle, is what I learned when I was little. So it just means, it could mean any kind of disease or, blight on livestock that is deadly. So there's another distinction made. It affects who? It affects the Egyptians' livestock and cattle, but it does not affect the Israelites. So here it is in the land of Goshen, the people God's calling his, they are protected from this. Everybody around them in Egypt is affected. All right? So, Yeah, exactly right. So he does go and check. And verse 7, he says, the heart of Pharaoh, what? It was hardened again. And so he does not let the people go. So each of these things is escalating each time from nuisance to more nuisance to really a nuisance to now it's affecting their food supply. But still, it's not extreme. Verse 8, the Lord says to Moses and Aaron, take for yourselves handfuls of soot from a kiln ashes and let Moses throw it toward the sky in the sight of Pharaoh. So he does that and they become boils, sores that affect everyone. All right, it was just kind of a sign that wherever this ash falls, this is going to be, so it's going to be all over everyone. So this happens, and there became boils breaking out with sores on man and beast. So it's affected everything, living, creatures, men and animals. And so, it's one thing to affect a lot of stuff around you. It's a nuisance. The nuisance escalates as we go through each one. Now, what's happening? This hurts. This hurts. These boils, I'm sure, were, aggravating and painful, and they're all over everybody. Even the dogs got them, or whatever they've got. So it's getting... It's escalating even more. Now it gets personal. It's on me. It's on my family. It's on my kids. It's on everything, right? So what do you think is happening with Pharaoh's subjects and servants and people in the kingdom? You can kind of see how it's escalating. It's like, all right, Now, wait a second. This is affecting, you know, this is getting too much. And we'll see that here in a little bit, what their reactions are. So this is affecting them. In verse 11, what was it? This time, the magicians couldn't just not do it, but what? Yeah, they can't even come in and walk in there to where he is, because they're affected. They can't get in there to him. They could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians as well as on all the Egyptians. So the Lord hardens Pharaoh's heart, verse 12. He does not listen, just as the Lord has spoken. And so he says, the Lord says to Moses, rise up early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh. Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For this time, verse 14, I will send all my plagues on you and your servants, on your people, so that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. So why is God doing this? So that you will know that there is no one like me in all the earth. Egyptians have gods for this, gods for that, gods for this and that. And the other thing, you have no idea. This is who God is, who can do all of this. And he's doing this to show them. And verse 16, it really tells us. He says, but indeed for this reason I have allowed you to remain. What could God do to let his people go? Could have just wiped Egypt out. Could have just destroyed them. It's been as easy as that. You know, a gazillion hundred angels, kill them all. And we're done and we're going on to the next phase. But he says, verse 16, but indeed for this reason I've allowed you to remain in order to show you my power and in order to proclaim my name, where? Through all the earth. What are we still talking about today in 2014? We're talking about what happened way back then, because God showed not only Egyptians, not only Israel, not only the nations around, because they talk about this event later on, but even till today, we're talking about this event. God is showing every single one that was there and who was yet to come who he is, and proving that there's no one like him in all the earth. Now, when we think about that, we need to think about how we approach him, how we act, how we react when we learn God's word. He's not someone to be negotiated with, is he? You know, well, you want this, well, I'll meet you halfway. That's what Pharaoh was trying to do. That's not going to work with a God, the God, who can do absolutely anything. Nothing's out of his control or out of his, what he can do. So, in verse 18, he says, behold, about this time tomorrow, I'm going to send a very heavy hail. So it keeps on going. Very heavy hail, such as not been seen in Egypt from the day it was founded till now. And he warns him, whatever you've got, you better bring inside and undercover. Every man and beast that's found out in the field, that's outside, out from undercover, what's going to happen? They're not going to survive this. So an opportunity is given to the Egyptians, to Pharaoh, to save themselves and whatever is important. If they believe that this God can do everything he's saying. Now, you think there are some who did believe that and brought their stuff in? Yeah, probably so. Do you think some said, yeah, this is all whatever, you know, everything's going to be fine. Think there were some of those? Probably. Yeah. So they fled into the houses. So they took cover. All right. And verse 21, he who paid no regard to the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. So the Lord says to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky and the hail, that hail may fall on all the land. So it all comes and it falls and it's heavy. It's accompanied by thunder. The hail strikes all that was in the field through all the land of Egypt, man and beast, struck every plant of the field, shattered every tree of the field. Only where, verse 26, only in the land of Goshen. Here's small Goshen, relatively. It doesn't affect them at all. All right? But everything else around them, in all of Egypt, it's gone. And whatever livestock, you know, didn't get killed, if they were out there, or if they didn't bring it undercover, this is destruction. You can't bring in the crops, can you? Not until they're ready. So what about the crops that were out there that were already budded and, you know, putting out? They were destroyed. Now, there were some, it says, that had not yet put out yet. So it wasn't a total crop devastation or amongst everything, but it was a lot of it. All right. So now their food supply is getting affected quite drastically. All right. A lot of their livestock's gone. A lot of their crops are gone. So everything's escalating. All right. So he goes in and Pharaoh says, sends for Moses and Aaron, verse 27. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are the wicked ones. And he says, make supplication to the Lord and stop this thunder and hail, and then I'll let you go, and you won't be here any longer. So Moses goes and he stops it, and the Lord stops it. And verse 34, when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail, the thunder had ceased, he sinned again and hardened his heart, he and his servants. So Pharaoh's heart was hardened yet again and did not let the sons of Israel go. All right, so we've gone through, you know, how many plagues so far? Water to blood, frogs, lice, flies, grain of cattle, bulls, now hail. All right. So, chapter 10, the Lord says to Moses, go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may perform these signs of mine among them. All right, here's another section or information that says why God is doing this. He says, I've hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may perform these signs of mine among them, and that you may tell in the hearing, right, so that you may tell in the hearing of your son and of your grandsons how I made a mockery of the Egyptians and how I have performed my signs among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. Alright, so why is God doing this? So that you can tell your sons and your grandsons and the generations to follow all the way until 2014 of what God did to the Egyptians and what a mockery he made of them, of Pharaoh. Does Pharaoh have a chance of having any success in this, what he thinks is a negotiation? You know, it's a mockery. Pharaoh is putty in God's hands, isn't he? There's no way that Pharaoh's going to have any success except to do what God has said and let them go. Now, he could avoid a lot of heartache and death if he'll let them go, but he's not doing that. So Moses and Aaron goes to Pharaoh, and they say, thus says the Lord, verse 3, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. What's Pharaoh's problem? he won't humble himself before God. If he won't humble himself before God, do you think there is any humility whatsoever in Pharaoh? He won't humble himself. He will not do what he says. That's an issue for us sometimes. When we see people who are introduced to God, who know God, who know the story, who know so much about who God is, what he can do, the love that God has shown. I mean, here we see God being pretty fierce, pretty, bashing, Pharaoh and his people. But also think about the God, the same God, what did he do for us? He showed us a love that it's hard to find that, for someone to give their life for you, that's hard to find. It can happen, but for God to send his son and to show that measure of love, it's unthinkable, isn't it? It's amazing. It's hard to believe that, but that's what he did. Well, we can harden our hearts and we can say, okay, and go on with our lives. But there's a consequence. Pharaoh's going to see the consequence of his actions as well. All right, so he's going to bring locusts, verse 4. If you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory. They'll cover the surface of the land so that nobody's going to be able to see the land. That's a lot of locusts. You look on the ground, you don't see dirt, you see locusts. They're going to be everywhere. Now, what is that locusts do? They eat. They eat everything. There's anything green, living, it's just going to be it's devastation. So, that's right. That's right. This is going to be complete devastation. Anything that hasn't been gotten as far as crops or greenery that's out is going to be taken. So, and he does that. And what's the Pharaoh's servants, verse 7, what do the people start telling Pharaoh? Verse 7, how long will this man be a snare to us? Let them go that they may serve the Lord your God. Do not realize that Egypt is destroyed. They're telling him, enough is enough already. So, Moses and Aaron go back to Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, go and serve your God. Who are the ones that are going? Who all is going to go? And he says, Moses says, we're going to go with our young, our old, our sons, our daughters, our flocks, our herds. Everything's going. What's going to be left behind? Nothing. And Pharaoh says, can't do that. God's on your side. You'll be gone. So God stretches his hands out and he sends the locusts. They destroy everything. And Pharaoh, verse 17, asks for him to make supplication to the Lord to remove the locusts, this death from him. And so the Lord shifts the winds, drives off all the locusts. And Pharaoh does what? Hardens his heart again. And he wouldn't let them go. Then he brings on the second to the last, the darkness. This is the last one we'll study today, saving the last plague for Wednesday. So, stretching out your hand, the Lord tells Moses toward the sky that there'll be darkness over all the land. Darkness which may even be felt. Pretty dark. When we talk to our kids and teach our young children, we kind of tend to, try to make it real to them, turn out the lights or, make it dark but it's probably, this is just an opinion, but there's no way to explain, there's no way to make this real. about the most real thing that I can come to is going into a cave. And that's probably about the darkness, you know. I mean, you can hold your hand right here and you can't tell it. You can feel the heat, but you can't tell where, you can't see anything. So what happens in this kind of darkness? You don't move. You don't go anywhere where you don't know where everything is. Everybody stayed inside. Nobody goes anywhere. And that's what happened here. So after this, Pharaoh calls to Moses, and he's kind of his next offer in the negotiation. Go serve the Lord, only let what? Your flocks and your herds stay here. Next part of the negotiation. Everybody, y'all can go do what you want, but let your flocks and your herds stay here. And Moses says, verse 25 and 26, you must also let us have our sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to God. Therefore, our livestock too will go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind, for we shall take some of them to serve the Lord our God. And until we arrive there, we ourselves do not know what we shall serve the Lord, with what we shall serve the Lord. So Moses says, nothing's staying here. Everything is going. Not a hoof shall be left behind. But God hardens Pharaoh's heart. He takes the darkness away. The Lord hardens Pharaoh's heart, and he was not willing to let them go. So, verse 28, Pharaoh says to him, he says, get away from me. Pharaoh is tired of this. It's affected everything in their nation. Everything. Pharaoh says, get away from me. Beware, do not see my face again, for the day that you see my face, you will die. So Pharaoh's escalated. He's threatening him. If you come back here, you're going to be dead. It was just immediate. All right, good point. And Moses agrees with Pharaoh. What does he say? He says, you're right. I shall never see your face again. So Moses ain't going to see him. So things are going to escalate to a point beyond which Pharaoh could imagine, in the last plague we'll talk about Wednesday. Thank you.